NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 424 of the NYYST podcast. We're live on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, as always joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And SGR.
Okay.
So the Yankees clinch, and we're all together. I think it's only fitting that all three fellas are together here as we celebrate the Yankees' return to the postseason, even though they lost earlier today, 3-2 to the Seattle Mariners. They did take two out of three from Seattle this week. They did build up the American League East lead to 4 with 9 games to play, and they do have 3 against the Orioles. So the Yankees just have to, you know, take it easy here, not go crazy, but win a couple games, and we should be the American League East champions. But right now, they're in the postseason. They clinched last night with a 2-1 victory in 10 innings. So how you feeling? You feeling all right about that?
Very disappointed in the loss today. I thought it was atrocious. We lost the game in the standings. Okay.
It's going to be miserable.
No, man. This is honestly. Okay. This is honestly the best I've felt about this team probably all year, because I feel like it's starting to click at the right time. And I don't know. There was something like, I'm not fully on board with them going crazy, celebrating a playoff berth. Like, I get it. It's fucking awesome. We weren't there last year and it feels good. I'm not like fully on board with the all out, like, let's go crazy celebration, but
go yell at your cloud, old man.
No, because here's the difference between me and you. You are this like old school guy, right? Who's, you know, you live and die with the team, but you also change, like you change your standards. Like, since when is clinching a playoff berth worthy? But again, I don't want to argue about that.
Since we didn't get there last year.
It doesn't matter. They still would have done it this year. But, dude, don't make me keep talking about that. Because it's not a big deal. I'm glad
that you're the one making it a big deal.
No.
Oh, I don't like it.
He's trying to move past it.
Okay. I'm trying to move past it. Okay. I didn't mess up.
No, you messed up a little bit.
But I'll say this. Watching the celebration was fun. And there was just a different vibe in that clubhouse that you feel good. Look, they struggled a lot this year. The teams around them struggled. They're going to come out of this hopefully the strongest team in the AL still.
Yeah.
And they're getting hot at the right time. But there's something about that clubhouse energy that I haven't felt in a long time. I think Jazz brings a lot of that to the table. And I'm just feeling good right now, man.
Soto celebrating was nice. He's the first player under 27, I think, to make the playoffs for 3 different teams.
Damn, really?
Yeah, it's a cool little stat. Yeah,
usually
there.
Guys don't change teams that often.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair point.
I think that was fun watching the celebrations. By Thursday Night Football.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. And it's New York, and it's the Jets, too.
Yeah, dude.
Nobody cares.
No one cares, okay?
Speaking of, I am going to put the game on. I'll see you guys.
Okay.
Well, if you are in the chat tonight, we're live here on NYY Underground, so like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. Our first chance being on NYYU since We're all out at the stadium on Saturday, so I just want to again say thank you to everybody that joined us on Saturday there. You know, disgraceful performance by Gerrit Cole and the Yankees, but we still had a great time being out there, again, to hang out with everybody. And if you're not on NYYU and you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform on Friday morning, please make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And please tell everybody that we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. And you really want to make sure you're subscribed now if you haven't been all season, because postseason's right around the corner and it's going to be coming at you pretty much Whenever there's an off day, there'll be a new episode, pretty much, as long as the Yankees keep going here. So make sure you're subscribed. And if you want to leave us a nice 5-star rating and review, we'll appreciate that as well. So we'll start.
And also just wish my wife a happy birthday, too.
No, I did that already.
That'd be
okay,
nice.
So
okay.
No belated happy birthdays.
Happy
here.
Belated birthday, baby.
No,
I love you.
I retract
belated
it.
Belated happy birthday.
I retract that as well. Okay.
Okay. Retracted.
Retracted.
Retracted. Okay. Redacted. Okay, Your Honor.
We are going to start banging.
Okay.
That was for you.
Don't do that.
All right. Okay. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right. So we'll start here. Last night, the Yankees, as we alluded to, they did clinch. They will be guaranteed a postseason spot here. They're still, even with the loss today and the Orioles win, they are in a good position here with four games with 9 to go. And I'll start here with, I don't want to get myself too ahead. I'm too excited. I don't know, man. This loss today, notwithstanding, I feel like this is going to be a different team going into October this year than we've seen in the Boone era. And yeah, you know, the Yankees have righted the ship here. They've gotten hot. They've kind of got, even though, you know, you still want to see Judge be Judge again. He hasn't quite gotten back to where he was in August. Same thing with Soto. You want to see them kind of rounding into form, but you feel like the team as a whole is in a much better place going forward here than they have been in previous years under the Boone regime going into October. I don't want to say that this is going to be a World Series team, but I think that they have the best chance that they've had under Boone's leadership to get to the World Series.
Yeah, part of my point I was making before about how I felt like about the, you know, the vibe in the clubhouse, the second part of my point that I wanted to make was, I can promise you this, we've been through a lot of heartbreak since 2009, especially since we've been doing this show, because we're just like extra invested, and we always have our Yankee fan therapy episode after the season concludes, and that's always, you know, where we kind of let everything out and let our hearts pour out on the table, and we kind of work through it together and we feel a little better. There is no year that it will even touch how heartbroken I am if they fail this year because of that, because of how, you're right, like, this is, out of all the teams, this is the one team that you can look at and say, yeah, they have their flaws for sure, but this is the best chance they've had in a long, long time.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
I think this is the best they've started to look going into the playoffs in a long time, where they kind of look like they're finding themselves at the right time. I don't know after today's loss if they're still the best, have the best record in the American League.
They're a half game ahead of Cleveland.
Yeah, but no, I just meant over the span of like 50, their last 50 games. I think they're 29-19, somewhere around there. So they've done a nice job at the right time. And then you look at the field, it's not as competitive as it's been in years past. So I guess their competition isn't as strong. So that gives them an advantage. And then you have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge.
That was my last.
Well, maybe we have Juan Soto.
Yeah, Jesus. Gee, well, before you even say that, was another thing. And like, just watching Soto celebrate was just like, this can be something really special, and you want it to be. You want Judge to get that ring next to Juan Soto and for us to talk about this season for years and years.
Yeah, Juan Soto scared the living crap out of everybody today when he slid into the wall. And I had flashbacks of Dustin Fowler all those years ago.
Oh, it was that bad? I wasn't able to watch.
See the mark on his leg. Dirt mark.
But he stayed in the game. And
he stayed in the game, but he's going for x-rays tomorrow. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I thought that was honestly kind of silly that he stayed in the game. But it just shows the kind of player he is.
Yeah, but it's also Boone's got to protect Soto from himself and for the team's sake there. He's got to get him out of the game.
Out of the game.
Was Kyle favoring it after?
No, I don't know.
No, he was even like, he was doing some squats and stuff. He looked pretty good.
He looked okay, but I mean, at that point, man, you got to protect the player from himself there and know how important he is to what you're trying to do. I would have gotten him out of the game. And the Yankees lost Jake Cousins to injury. I saw an interview with him after the game with Meredith. He didn't seem too concerned about it. Maybe the Yankees would just shut him down for another couple of days and see how it was a pec, a a tight pec muscle. So
yeah, tight right.
So, Kyle, appreciate seeing you out at the stadium on Saturday. I don't recall you calling me the wrong name. What name do you think that you may have called me? Okay.
So just
tell me in the chat.
Go ahead.
Sounds like Kyle lost sleep over this.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you misnamed me, I'm not offended. Hey,
did he dead name you?
We're not going there.
Okay.
Called you Kev.
Yeah, did you call me Kev? Because then I'm mad. You did call me Kev. Now I'm pissed.
You remember?
Yeah. No, dude. He just put it in the chat. Yeah, now I'm mad.
I said it.
Man. Kyle lost sleep over this for a week, and you didn't even hear him call you it.
No, you're right. Because I think I ran into him at the team store.
There's no way they look alike, DJ Steele said.
Not even close.
It's crazy.
It's all good, man. You're out there to support NYYU. It's all good. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you shouldn't call me Jake.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last night, I just got like this rush of adrenaline after Ian Hamilton struck out.
Fired up.
Turner to end the game, because what I usually do now is that I'm an old man. I'll lay in bed at the beginning of these West Coast games, and my plan is to watch the first two or three innings, nap through the middle of the game, and then wake up somewhere around the eighth or ninth inning. So what happened last night is I woke up just in time to see Clay Holmes actually not puke on himself. Then I must have dozed off again, because then I'm seeing Weaver being all pumped up, walking off the mound, and I'm like, that looks like a one in Seattle's column. What the hell happened here? And then they showed
Schleider
that didn't slide.
Hanging Schleider.
And then I was up for the rest of the game, but I was like trying to fight not going to sleep. And then Hamilton strikes out Turner to end the game. And then like just this like rush of adrenaline came over me. And like I understand where you're coming from, like clinching a playoff spot. Like normally that wouldn't like pump me up. Like I want the division. But, like, I don't know, man. After what we went through as fans last year, that now they're back in the postseason, I tweeted this last night. Like, I'm not going to – even though we're Yankee fans, and I think Yankee fans do this, I don't take that for granted now, man, because, like, a wall in Los Angeles took that away from us last year, and – please hope to God that a wall in Seattle doesn't take something away from us this year. You know? So
it wasn't a knock on the Yankees. Every team does it.
No, I'm just saying that's why, like, and that's, I don't know, maybe like I have this different energy going into the postseason, because I feel like that things are really for, you know, like the last time they were there in 2022, I feel like that they limped into October, that Aaron Judge just was dragging these sacks of shit into the postseason.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that's what is happening this year.
And look, just to clarify what I was saying before about the celebration, it wasn't a knock on the Yankees. It was a knock on baseball. I feel like the new narrative is be happy to get into the postseason. It's such a big accomplishment because anything can happen. And that's like the vibe that baseball's pushing. I don't know if it's like an owner's narrative where they don't have to go all out and they just give you a team and you're grateful to be. Of course I'm excited. Of course it was fucking great. Of course I'm glad they're there, but there's a lot of work to be done. And when Torrey was manager here, he never said first step is clinching a playoff berth. The first goal is to win the division.
Okay.
So okay, their eyes.
Man. Yell at your cloud.
Okay. Their eyes still have to be on that, but also.
They are. They're still.
They definitely are. But also, we got to protect Soto and Judge and these guys who are going to be your biggest chance to get to where you want to be.
Kev Boogie, always appreciate seeing you out there, brother. You know, so thank you for coming out. And DJ Steels, I don't know if I was. Did I really look that red? It wasn't from the sun. We were in the shade all afternoon. So it had to be from Gerrit Cole, my friend. So. That's We're going to get to Gerrit Cole in a couple minutes here because we got to discuss this rotation. I do feel that the Yankees are much better built for October this year than they have been in years past, where you felt like Aaron Judge was just dragging this team into the postseason, where I don't feel like that right now. I feel like this is a much more balanced and well-rounded team than they have been, even though the results maybe haven't been there all year. I feel like, and they weren't even there a couple weeks ago because they were one game over 500 through their soft August schedule, but they're playing a lot better now.
Yeah.
And they might be peaking at the right time. And you feel like, for reasons like, okay, Judge has cooled down a little bit, maybe got himself going a little bit back with Boston, didn't have a great series in Seattle where he usually mashes, but maybe he's just like waiting in the wings here mm-hmm. to really kind of explode here. And we're hoping that's what the case is.
He didn't have a terrible series. I mean, he had a really good game one.
Yeah, game one, he drove in four runs, but you're still waiting for him to kind of go on one of these home run binges. But you know what? He's not going to get to 63 this year. Save it. Save it now.
Fair. And
so,
I don't know if you had another point there.
I did have it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
And I feel like now some of the problems that the Yankees have encountered throughout the course of the year, they have eliminated themselves in the sense that this bullpen is starting to come together. We know who our closer is. Aaron Boone can say whatever he wants, and we'll get to that in a little bit later. We feel like there's a pecking order here of who the important guys are. The weak link has been eliminated. Okay. This rotation is starting to round into form. We know who the guys are going to be. What order are they going to be in, really? And the athleticism in this lineup is here that hasn't been here recently. Jazz Chisholm is going to be an October hero for the Yankees. I just feel that in my bones that he is going to be an October hero for this team this year.
That's a great point about them having some athleticism this year too. That's going to be a huge difference because Birdie's going to be on the bench, right?
I would say Birdie's going to be on the bench. You could bring him in. He's versatile. He's athletic.
Yeah. Some speed, finally.
I don't want to get into Dominguez right now. I want to save that for later on in the show because I think that's going to be something that might irritate a lot of Yankee fans, but even a guy like Oswaldo Cabrera or Anthony Volpe, as we saw at the end of the game today, we don't know. You know, that was very telling by Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
In a one-run game that he went to Oswaldo Cabrera, he pinch hit for Anthony Volpe. And I've been trying to check social media. I haven't seen a quote from anybody regarding that. So, I mean, you got to understand something. If you are a person that covers the Yankees and you have access to Aaron Boone, the fan, look, it's obvious, right? I would say it's fairly obvious why, but you got to get the answer from Boone. You got to ask him that question, and we need to know what his thought process was there. This is your starting shortstop. This is the guy, chapter and verse. We don't have to go over it again, right? Anthony Volpe, in a one-run game in the ninth inning, you pinch hit for him. We got to hear the reasoning for that.
Yeah, and don't tell me it's matchups, but I wanted to just touch on your point with Jazz real quick. You said like you see him being a hero. The great thing about Jazz is it might not be in the traditional sense of a postseason hero. Like you think postseason hero, you think A-Rod 2009, you think Matsui in the World Series hitting bombs. Jazz Chisholm can be a hero on the bases. I mean, he generates so much more than your traditional Yankee over the last handful of years.
Yeah, he's going to, for the first time in the last 10, you know, in Boone's tenure here, for the first time, I feel like we have a player that can create a run on all on his own now in Jazz Chisholm.
Yep.
If he gets on base, he's a threat to go. He's a threat to go again. And then, boom, you know, you turn a single into a triple with a couple stolen bases or a walk into a triple. And you can score on and out there. That's an easy run. That's what the Yankees have always failed to do in Boone's tenure in the postseason is build easy runs. Get yourself a cheap run. Get a guy on. Steal a base. Get him over. Score with a cup. You know, build a run with a couple of outs. This way, if you're at the part of the lineup where you don't have your big guys on, you can still manufacture a run there.
It goes a long, long way, especially when you have a lineup that's as deep as the Yankees, you know, have right now. But then getting back to the point of the Volpe Cabrera situation today, I texted it to you guys, and maybe you don't agree with me, but what you're telling me is that Volpe sucks. Like, you're admitting that he's not your best chance to win there.
Yeah, what do you think? I bet if anyone did ask Boone about it, the answer would have to be related to power. There, right? That Cabrera
power from the left side,
the better chance of hitting a home run in that situation.
Power from the left side,
the Boone excuse.
Volpe, you know, is a righty. Cabrera is a lefty that has pop. Mm-hmm. All bullshit.
Like
because
the matchup there, we
because
liked
could
it.
Because here's a question for you: could you imagine the Yankees down by one run? And I'm sorry, I have to compare them here because this is how they talked about Volpe.
I just checked three timelines of beat writers, and none of them have a quote about him.
I'm looking for it now, too. I don't see anything.
So Volpe's supposed to be our generational talent. He's supposed to be our franchise shortstop. He's the guy who we
passed up. But you don't even – but look, I don't want to cut you off here, but you're talking about the power from the – you don't even need that in a situation. Okay, Wells strikes out, but – he had him on deck before the end of the at-bat. Even if Wells makes out, which he did, you can still kind of build yourself a run there with Volpe. You figure singles, you can get him to steal second base. You know, you don't need power necessarily in that situation. He gets on, you're turning the lineup over. You're guaranteeing, you know, Soto a chance there.
Yeah. That's been a good follow-up question to Boone.
Yeah, it would have been to the original question that should have been asked. But anyway, you know, so we have to hold Volpe to a pretty high standard here. We passed up on a lot of talent to get him here, and they sold us on this kid. Could you imagine any situation where any year where it's a one-run game and you're still playing for the division and it's the ninth inning and Derek Jeter's being pinch hit for? Or any guy that they sold you on that's supposed to be this great?
No.
He's getting pinch hit for Oswaldo Cabrera, a guy who they don't even play.
Well, he's not that great. I mean, we've seen that, but
exactly that. But
I still would
admitting it now.
I'm surprised by the move today to admit that.
Yeah, sorry, it is surprising because Yankees usually don't admit failure.
Yeah,
it would stun me. It would honestly stun me if he's not at shortstop in game one. It would really surprise me. But now, go ahead.
If you're the manager, let me ask this because I think it's important before you go into what you're going to say. If you're the manager, what's your take? Are you considering benching Volpe right now? Has he been that bad for you?
Yeah, but the alternative is Oswaldo Cabrera.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think? You have
heart though, Cabrera. He had a big home run in 22.
He did, but it's not like it's not like Corey Seager sitting on the bench.
My point is, Volpe's been that bad that I'm legitimately considering it.
You're right though, Christian. It would be shocking, but so was today. That was shocking to see him get benched in the first place. But I would still be shocked.
I would be absolutely stunned if he's not playing in game one. Now, if the Yankees get through the ALDS and he bats 071, is he starting game one of the ALCS? I don't think so.
Good point.
Yeah,
He's gonna have a short leash in the postseason.
Now, me and SGR said this the other day in our text, but I can see Volpe as a guy. SGR made this point first, that could have that magic in the postseason. I could see him having that clutch gene in the postseason. I don't know.
Yeah, you could, because he's a guy that does capitalize on mistakes. So if the pitching's magnified, and
he's actually seen a fair amount of mistakes here, and he's just missed all of them.
Most of the times he doesn't, but when he does connect on one, it's not really anything that he's stretching for. It's a mistake, but he's showing.
I mean, the book is out on him. You throw him heat upstairs and breaking stuff away. Yeah. That's all. I mean, if you're going into the postseason and trying to minimize the damage that Soto and Judge can do to you, and you have Volpe batting ninth, and you throw him anything but a breaking ball away or a heater upstairs,
100%.
You deserve to lose.
Yep.
Give that kid anything else that he could probably handle. It would be insane. But he is a huge question mark going into October. And yeah, he might still have a role here if he does get benched as a late inning replacement defensively or a pinch runner. But I mean, his first crack at the postseason, and this is what we're talking about here.
Yeah. It's concerning to, at the very least, it's concerning because Anthony Volpe, you know how you say the worst thing the Giants could have done was make the postseason a couple years ago and sign Jones and all of this shit? I feel like Volpe could really set this team back. Passing on that talent and putting all your eggs in this kid's basket, it's just a concern. It's not just for this year. I mean, this is concerning moving forward. It really is.
Well, this is also concerning. We'll move away from Volpe because I really want to hammer the pitching staff here and what we're going to see in October. Excuse me. This is Juan Soto on the catch in the seventh inning when he slammed into the wall. He goes, "I was really worried. I went straight into the concrete, and when I threw the ball, I just felt a lot of pain in my kneecap. Definitely with time, the pain started going down and feeling better. Definitely it was a little scary right there." And he is going for an x-ray tomorrow. And he said he was asked if he's going to play tomorrow. He said it just depends on how the knee feels in the morning. So, again, this could be one.
Did he take an at-bat after that?
No, he was left on. This is like the fourth or fifth time this year Gleyber Torres has ended the game with Juan Soto on deck. So. No, he did not. He was on deck when Torres struck out to end the game.
I don't know. I'm not too concerned, to be honest.
Yeah, you're never concerned.
No, I know I'm not, because if it were that bad for Juan Soto, he comes out of that game and he's not even thinking about swinging a bat. You're not. Trust me, in between innings, if he's going to take an at bat, he's in the cages and he's swinging the bat and he knows he can do it.
And then when he goes to bed tonight and it swells up on him?
No, I'm not saying that it's not something that might take him out of the lineup for a week. But
sit him tomorrow,
it can't be that bad where he was still able to play. I'm sorry.
Nah, it looked more like a scare, but let's see, because that shit come back the next day.
You never know, man, what they might find in an x-ray or an MRI or anything like that. But let's. I think we can start to kind of put the pieces of the postseason rotation together here. If the Yankees blow this division lead here and they're a wild card team, I don't even want to talk about them anymore. But so I think we can kind of look forward now here as the Yankees enter the final three series of the season and see where the pitching lines up, because I think that might be the most important thing for this team going forward here, is who's taking the ball and who's taking the ball after the starter. So talked about it on the last episode, man. I don't want to get into it again because I don't want to be upset with him anymore, but I am. I mean, that was a pathetic performance from Gerrit Cole on Saturday. I mean, you can't do that. You can't be Gerrit Cole and just give up, right? But he's taking the ball in game one. There's no other alternative there. The Yankees have to give Gerrit Cole the ball in game one. Now, where does it fall in line after that? Is Carlos Rodon unanimously the second?
Clear.
That's you're saying no debate. It's Carlos Rodon.
No debate. He's your Burnett.
I'm not fighting you on that. I'm just saying that's clear. It's going Cole Rodon.
Clear as day. It's not just about the salary. It's about, this is a guy who, look, has he had his fucking struggles here? Yeah, of course. But he's shown how solid he can be. And I think we're talking about this clutch gene in October, man. I think Carlos Rodon is a friggin' bull in October. I think he has some magical moments in October. He's clearly your number two. And another reason is you kind of need him to be. right? You're not going anywhere if Rodon can't be your number two. You're not.
The thing you might want to switch up is the righty-lefty-righty if they want to go. Oh, no, well, that would be it. Rodon would be the number two, so that would be
your point. Well, then, okay.
But I think it would actually kind of depend on how game one goes. If they are in the ALDS, they win game one, then you go heel. If you lose game one, I could see them actually going with Rodon.
Well, I want to talk about this now. So you're Rodon and Cole are givens. They're going to be in this rotation, right? There's no debate about that. If you want to move Rodon around, I think he's going to be number two. I think he should be number two. Now it becomes, I think it's obvious right now, Marcus Stroman's the odd man out. Would you all agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that leaves three guys for two spots.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Rich Squires here with the Super Chat. Gary Sanchez and Hicks all over again with Volpe. Volpe wishes that he was Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, at least Gary Sanchez hit bombs.
Gary Sanchez.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Volpe wishes he was 2023 Anthony Volpe who hit bombs at this point. That's how bad he's been.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that. Me and Ryan did. The 35 points or whatever is on the batting average means nothing when everything else is just worse.
Way down. Way down.
All right. So now you got three guys for two spots here, right? You got Nestor, Heel, and Clark Schmidt. I'm going to make my argument, then we'll go to Chris, then we'll go to Ryan here, okay? Everybody make their argument, and then let's see if we can come up with a consensus, right? We're good with that?
Okay.
Yes.
So we're good with Cole and Rodon. We're not arguing that, right?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. My two guys are Clark Schmidt and Nestor Cortez. And I'm going to tell you why, okay? I got to apologize to dear Nessie, okay? I got to apologize to him. A lot of people are telling me I got to apologize to Nessie. I got to apologize to him. He cried like a baby. Oh, I don't want to be taken out of the rotation. Oh. And you know what? Credit to Nestor. He's been balling out since then, man. He has proven to me that he needs to be one of the four guys that takes the ball in a postseason series here. And even when I was down on Nestor, I've always said, man, I appreciate the guts of this guy. And I want a guy with balls on the mound in October. And I feel like that no matter what, Nestor Cortez is not going to be scared by the moment. So Nestor's my four starter. So now it becomes really, it was a debate between Luis Heel and Clark Schmidt. And I'm a big Clark Schmidt guy. I think he really settled down after Jason Dominguez dropped the ball today, and he gave the Yankees a really good outing. I thought he was really good again today, man. But here's what it comes down to, right? If Robles doesn't have cement where his brain is supposed to be on Tuesday night and tries to steal home with the bases loaded in a 3-0 count, the Yankees are in trouble because Luis Heel is ready to walk in a run. He was ready to allow a run without allowing a hit. I love Luis Heel. I think he's got amazing stuff. But after his start on Tuesday is what has proven to me is the Yankees cannot risk him blowing up in that fashion in October. And I think Clark Schmidt is a much, much, much safer bet and easier to predict the type of performance that you're going to get out of him start to start. And yeah, I know what somebody might come back at me, that no pitcher in Major League Baseball had more starts of five innings or more and one earned or less than Luis Heel this year. But Luis Heel cannot throw strikes to save his life. And I cannot risk being down 4-0 in the first inning because this guy can't find the plate. The Yankees, you can almost to a T predict what you're going to get out of everybody else in this rotation except for Luis Heel, man. And he was teetering, and it scared the living crap out of me. And I think that I'm much more willing to take the risk over that in the late innings than having my bullpen just completely be blown up because this guy got rocked because he can't find the plate and we got to cover seven innings in a postseason game. So for me, my rotation is going to be Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Clark Schmidt, and Nestor in that order.
Yeah. So my portion will be quick because I actually agree with you, believe it or not. I tweeted this last night, and it still stands true. But last night, Nestor pitched, or two nights ago?
Nestor pitched last night.
I'm over Nestor Cortez. As a person, I don't like him. I don't like his attitude. I don't like what he said. I don't like the bullshit tweets. I don't like his throwing his hand up when Dominguez misses that ball, even though he should have freaking caught it. I don't like the throwing his teammates under the bus, that he was the only guy that was the workhorse and doesn't deserve this and doesn't deserve that. I don't like him. I'm done. I'm done with him in that sense. However, he's pitching extremely well, and I'll always root for him while he has the uniform on. And there, you can make an argument that out of all three guys right now, in this moment, Nestor deserves the ball more than anyone in October. I mean, Cole's been shit his last couple of games. Rodon, you never know what you're going to get. Nestor's been really good. Going into October, I don't know if anyone else deserves the ball more than him. So
you're going to make an argument that Gerrit Cole doesn't get the ball in October now?
No, you fucking asshole. No, of course not. My point is, I'd be being biased if I, just because I didn't like him, said he didn't deserve the ball.
Apparently, so, I hate him more than anybody.
I think I actually dislike him more than you at this point. And you've definitely been the most critical.
I love Nessie. Nessie.
Yeah, I don't like him. I really don't. There's something about him that rubs me the wrong way. I don't like what he said about his teammates. It really rubbed me the wrong way.
Great. I'm trying to win a World Series.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now,
but that's my point is I don't care how much I hate him or not. I want him to pitch well. And if he's pitching well, I want him to be on the mound.
I think he is probably throwing the best out of anybody in this rotation right now. So
Cole, obviously. Rodon's my number two. I think Nestor is my number three.
You want to back up the lefties?
I really don't care about that.
Oh, okay.
I really don't. I mean, maybe it might depend on your opponent, right? It might depend on their lineup construction and how you want to do that. But regardless, Nestor is one of my guys, and Schmidt's one of my guys, and I'll tell you why. The reason why you said for sure, I don't know what I'm getting out of Heel, and it pains me to say it because I think Heel is so good, but I can't risk being in October. And you talk about being down 4-0 to start a game, right? It's not just about that. It's about how we all know how short of a leash everyone has in October. And
you're not going to have that short of a leash.
What?
That he could spit up like that in the first inning. He's not.
No. But what I was trying to say is even if you get out of it with Robles, right? Even if you have a moment like that, you're already warming someone up because you can clearly tell Luis Heel doesn't have the plate. He just doesn't have the plate, and you can't risk running him back out there inning after inning when he doesn't have the plate and he's walking guys. You put guys on in October, man, you're going to pay for it. You cannot have that happen. So I agree with you there. That's why I'm going with Schmidt there. But also, out of all the guys that you can take out of this lineup, out of this rotation, there's one guy who is the biggest benefit out of the bullpen, and that's Luis Heel for me. And I think if the Yankees take him out of the rotation for the postseason, he's going to play a big part in the bullpen. And you might say that's contradicting, that if you can't trust him as a starter, you can't really. I don't care. I'm taking that risk with Heel.
Years ago.
Yeah, I'm taking that risk with him because despite the walks, the swing and miss stuff is better than anyone else on the staff.
Mm.
And I got to go with him.
I'm sorry, Ryan. Back up what you were saying and I said the same thing. I would rather take the risk in like the seventh inning than the first inning because, you don't want to give up the lead late, but if you see this guy doesn't have to play, you can get him out in three batters and not going to destroy your bullpen for the rest of the series. You got to pull this guy in the first inning, and you figure what are you figuring? He's going to be the third, fourth starter. You know, you want to give him the ball in game four. You know, you could be down 2-1, and he doesn't have the plate. That's a scary proposition, man. Whereas, you know, we've seen Nestor blow up, but I just feel like, again, going into the postseason. Into the postseason, though, you need recency bias.
Nestor has been really good overall this year.
Yeah.
He had his bad stretch, but
remember early he was giving up some runs in the first inning of his first couple of starts, I want to say, right?
I just feel a better predictor is going to be Nestor, where I feel like he's going to be doing much better. It's a safer bet for me right now.
It is the safer one.
My heart goes to Nessie, okay?
It goes Nessie, baby.
Go ahead, Ryan.
And with Heel, he has the most electric stuff that maybe they're missing now with Clay Holmes being like someone who's going to, you know, not he's relegated to
someone who's playing for the other team.
So there is that. There's always that back of your mind that he is going to have a blow up type inning where he can't find the plate. Would you rather that later in the game? I guess so. I guess at that point, then you can at least make that adjustment. But don't forget, he's going to have to throw to three batters right out of the bullpen. I mean, no matter what he would, but. It's really hard. You guys make good points, but when you look at the overall year that they had, and this is why I don't even make a decision until after game one, because if there's anyone that was the most shut down, most electric when they were on this season, it was Luis Heel. So if you win game one, I consider going right to Heel in game two and hope that it is the Luis Heel that we consistently saw this year. This guy has up for rookie of the year. He will definitely get first place votes, or he'll be in the top three for sure for rookie of the year this year. You know, he had a rough stretch.
I think he has the best odds, by the way, in Vegas.
Does he? Yeah, I know. I don't know. I bet that Orioles, the catcher, I forget his chomp.
He's actually third. Wells is second.
Yeah. I mean, that alone, talk about deserving. A guy who stepped up in the absence of Gerrit Cole, and not only did that, but he was just as good as Gerrit Cole in those first 2 months. Those numbers he had were ridiculous for those first couple of months of the year. So you kind of have to give him that credit and give him the opportunity to take the ball. He hasn't pitched out of the bullpen all year. Do you want to affect that and have him change that mentality? Because it is a much different mentality. You're seeing it with Luke Weaver in the ninth, how much of a mentality change it takes when you come out of the bullpen. Are they willing to risk that right now? I don't necessarily want to, especially because of how good he looked in certain starts, where if you're up 1-0 and the first pitch he throws in game two is a 98 fastball that he dots, you're feeling good about Luis Heel on the mound, and they most likely are in a good position to win. He's one of those guys you knew kind of right away what you were getting from him. So there it goes. All right, if he's struggling early, let's pitch him in game two, because Gerrit Cole is going to hopefully give them length so that they won't have to burn the bullpen in game one. And then you take that risk in game two, where you could complement him with Clark Schmidt, who I think will be the odd man out, because I think mentality-wise, experience-wise, Clark Schmidt is a more reliable, talk about a safer pick to be someone who can transition into a bullpen role. So I don't like the idea of having Luis Heel now transfer. If they started this earlier with Heel in September, where he was tinkering and going into the bullpen a little bit more now, like they've been doing with Nestor and Stroman, if he was a part of that mix, I'd probably lean more towards him being a bullpen guy, depending on how he looked. They haven't even tried it. So I don't think they will try it come October.
And can I just say one thing?
What if I said no right now?
I would just pretend like I couldn't hear you. You mentioned it, but as you were speaking, I'm actually agreeing with you. I still am going to stick with what I said, but I can't argue, I guess is the best way to say it, with what you're saying. But the only thing I could think of in my head was, okay, I'm agreeing with SGR right now, but the only way I agree is if the odd man out, whoever he's about to say, is the piggyback. Because then you said it. But in your situation, if Schmidt is the odd man out, he has to still be on the postseason roster, because I need a guy who's ready to piggyback. If I need to get Heel out of there in the first inning, I need a guy who's not my bullpen, who can eat just as much of a chunk. Maybe that's why they're keeping this many guys in the rotation right now and kind of mixing and matching and so on and so forth. Now Stroman's the odd man out. Maybe that's why. Maybe that is the plan. I don't necessarily agree with you that Heel should be second, even though your reasoning is correct, like where you would just throw him into the fire because you're up 1-0 and see what you get. I still don't think the Yankees are going to do that. I think they're going to feel obligated to go with Rodon in game two no matter what. But I agree with your premise of your argument there. And for me, the more important thing is having that piggyback. And then I think in that case, maybe I'm on board with you there because I love Luis Heel and I think he's really good.
Yeah, I know I've said numerous times that there's reasons why I don't want Heel in the bullpen, but there was something about watching that game on Tuesday that just was like,
yeah, it was unsettling.
I can't have this guy starting right now. I just,
what's his home road splits?
I don't know.
See, like Rodon, that's where Rodon might have to be that game two starter. If they have that, you know, they're most likely would be, you know, at Yankee Stadium. His numbers at home over his last five starts, I think he's pitching to like a sub-2. ERA 5-0, something like that.
And Nestor's been a lot better on the road in his last two starts, too.
Push him back to the three. You could see a righty-lefty.
Look, you know what? We say this all the time in other situations, but at the end of the day, it's a good problem that we're discussing.
Yeah. Still a problem.
I mean, it's pretty even for Heel here. 70 innings pitched at home. 3.09 ERA, 70.2 innings on the road, 3.18 ERA.
He's been fantastic.
Another testament to his season.
He's allowed 7 home runs on the road. He's allowed 7 home runs at home. He's walked 37 at home. He's walked 36 on the road.
Jesus, the walks are so high.
His WHIP is 1.17 at home. It's 1.18 on the road. I mean,
that's a walk every other inning.
It's a the only thing is he's got more strikeouts at home, 88 to 73, but everything is pretty much even for him. So it doesn't really matter where you want. I guess it's where you would feel most comfortable with Heel.
Look, Carlos Rodon's going to be the game two starter. Looking at these home road splits, 9-2 at home with a 3.09 ERA, on the road 6-7 with a 5.01, 1.36 ERA on the WHIP on the road, 1.06 WHIP at home.
Yeah, he's been much better at home this year.
You know what's crazy?
Starter.
Not to go off track here, but a quick point. I didn't realize how dominant the Mariners' pitching has been all year. They rank first in everything, and they're still going to miss the postseason.
Yeah, well, you saw
14
why.
Days.
Hey, you saw why? Because they don't have one guy in this lineup.
It was a 24 days. They blew a 10 game lead in 24 days. They went 6-18. 6-18.
You had a guy trying to steal home on a 3-0 count. Made no sense.
Yeah.
Then yesterday, really wasn't going to be Hamilton's fault, but because of the ghost runner. But you know, Hamilton's in a little bit of trouble there. Rodriguez is going for a stroll through Central Park.
Yeah.
Instead of getting back to the bag.
Dude, that was wild. Because that normally happens on like a foul ball that almost hits you. And I guess in his mind, it was just like a dead ball situation.
And
but how
today,
about Jazz screaming and Wells making that play, dude? Just unreal.
And then today, later in the game, I forget the exact scenario, but the Bulls hit the guys at second base. The Bulls hit right to Volpe. And he's running right past Volpe to third base. You can see why this team blew a huge lead. They're not talk about the Yankees being a low IQ baseball team. This is a low IQ.
Crazy.
They made the Yankees
look like a Mariners pod.
Yeah, they made the Yankees look like fucking Ivy League grass.
I think statistically they have the best pitching staff in baseball this year.
I literally just said that.
No, I'm telling you.
I was being serious. They rank first in every major category.
Right. And then you said, how could they blow? Well, that's how. We've seen it.
I'm saying imagine that they still aren't even going to make the postseason with having
to steal home on a 3-0 count, bases loaded.
Dude, Luis Heel was ready to give them a run.
Was that not the – I've seen a lot of dumb things in my life. That might have been the dumbest.
The one that comes to mind is when Cone was freaking out on the umpire and the run scored.
How about Knobloch?
Oh, yeah, he had one of those, too. But Four that hits. Was just like, come on, man. 3-0 count, that's like the...
It's just crazy.
Basic understanding crazy. Of baseball.
So,
all right, so we got our rotations locked in.
Okay.
We don't, though. Ryan's dissenting vote here. He wants to use Heal and Clark Schmidt.
Yeah, but I got to say, out of all the arguments...
I have to give it to Heal, man. With this year he had, I have to give him the ball.
Out of all the arguments we've all had here, I think that was one of the more convincing arguments. I can't counter you there. No, because Heal has been that good.
It's not a bad argument, but I don't know, man. What my eyes showed me on Tuesday night, I don't know if I could do it right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's where I'm at. Just because it just didn't sit right. You're watching. There's one thing to get rocked around, right? We saw Luis Severino do it in the wild card game that we were at, and they got him out of the game. They brought someone in. There's something different about a guy who can't find the plate to me.
It's scary.
It's a scary
thing. But it's scary. But if you are using him in the bullpen, you think about the year he had. Don't you feel he would get high leverage situations out of the bullpen?
Yeah, but
he's
mean.
Not going to be a mop up type guy. Like, no. They're going to utilize him because out of the bullpen, he could be much more dangerous. His velocity goes up a little bit.
I think if they're.
Speaking of mop-up guys, Mark Leiter Jr. hasn't pitched an entire week now.
God, thank God.
I just don't even want to hear his name.
Honestly, if there's one argument...
Where's Efros?
In Scranton.
Yeah, he's Scranton.
Get
he's not, Leiter he's not
off
ready.
His team. Get Efros up here.
He's not ready. If there's one argument, I guess, that could be made based off of everything that we're saying, the Yankees are going to need Luis Heal in some capacity.
Right, because if he is out of the bullpen, he's the guy that... replaces Clay Holmes.
He's going to get important outs one way or another for this team.
Exactly.
In October.
And they're going to need
no matter
him.
What. No matter what you're saying could be his downfall in October, he's going to have to, you know, deal with it at
Buckle
some point.
Down balls.
BDB's coming at you.
Well, one guy we know it's not going to be. Well, this is Yankees, smarter Yankees, but one guy that should not be getting important outs in October or put in a position to get them is Clay Holmes, because since Clay Holmes has been removed from the closer role, he has still blown two saves. So
it's pretty impressive, honestly.
No, it's a feat to behold for sure. Not like Jose Altuve's feat, which was bizarre, but okay.
How many blown saves did Kimbrel have?
Out?
Yeah,
too many.
Yeah, too many for the Orioles liking.
I'll look it up.
I just want to know because that guy's gone.
This is not BST podcast, okay? So
that guy's gone.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is Clay Holmes probably has more blown saves. He'll be pitching
but soft contact
on for important outs in October.
Uh-huh. Soft contact.
The other guy who had less blown saves got DFA'd.
Okay, soft contact.
Okay. Pitches. Wait, what was? I forget the actual quote I saw about Clay Holmes. I'll find it, though. I forget what Booney said about him.
In fairness,
bad luck.
Yeah, well, Clay Holmes also doesn't have a 5.33 ERA on the season. He's just been terrible all year, Craig Kimbrel. So, I mean, there's that going on there. So, I got this quote from Aaron Boone here. I want to read it here because...
Is it about Holmes?
No, it's about Luke Weaver.
Oh, okay.
Because who cares about Clay Holmes, okay?
Agreed.
It says, this is a quote from Aaron Boone. It says, it may turn out that Luke Weaver is closing a lot of games, but it may turn out that Luke comes into a spot in the sixth inning and gets four or five important outs when the game is on the line. Yankees are stopping short of naming him the closer, which I think is ridiculous because I don't think there's anybody better equipped right now. And I think that the Yankees can use him in multiple innings. You can bring him in the eighth if you need to get out of a jam, or if you just want to shut the game down right there. This guy, we talked about it now the last couple episodes. This guy's fastball is living on it, is got different life on it right now. And he's got the mentality. He told everybody he blacked out in his first save. So that's what I want to hear out of my closer. I blacked out, man. The adrenaline took over. pumping gas. He's got that ridiculous changeup. This guy's got the mentality to be a star in October for the Yankees. And I get the allure of if you're in a jam in the sixth and you want to, you know, get out of it, and the heart of the lineup is coming out, coming up, and I get it. But also
bring someone else in.
But this is October baseball. You got to define roles right now. You got to know who the guy is that's coming in to get the last three outs of the game. And that's got to be Luke Weaver. And after last night, I think Ian Hamilton is back. The Terminator is back.
I'm back.
So I've always said
Linda
this.
Linda Hamilton, I am back to being the Terminator.
I've always said this, but there's been over the last however many years talk about closer by committee whenever there's someone struggling, whether it be Chapman, Clay Holmes. And I've always been against it because there is a mentality. And you tapped into, look, Luke Weaver's been really good for this team all year. Yeah, he had like a little bit of a rough patch, but
this is a different guy though.
Overall, he's been really good for this team. You just tapped into another dimension here. You tapped into, you unlocked something in Luke Weaver, a guy who's been really great for you all year that you didn't even know existed by putting him in a save situation. And that's something that you can't take for granted right now. I get it. Just like you said, I get the allure of like, he's a guy who you could be the fire extinguisher also. They kind of played this game with, Miller,
Andrew
years Moore. Ago. They kind of moved him around a little
bit. But they also had a role as Chapman. They don't have a role as Chapman in this bullpen. So I think it's even more important for them to...
No. My point is, I understand... Based on that, I understand the importance of a fire extinguisher type guy. But this guy, again, you unlocked something you didn't know was there. You have to ride with that. And just real quick, the quote from Boone on Clay Holmes was that he was snake bitten by mistakes.
Right. Okay.
Okay. The reality is he's still really good. His stuff is really good, and he's going to get big outs for us.
Ra with the super chat. Ra, 50 days, bro. 50 days to Philly. I hope you're ready, man. Okay? Not to bring up old shit, but Cole owes all of us for what he did on Saturday. He needs to shove the rest of the postseason and make up for that embarrassment. Yeah, he needs to shove my foot up his ass for being a punk bitch.
Yeah, he better turn it around.
Let me handle this, all right? You be quiet.
Sorry, bro. Man.
No, I mean, I can't keep bringing myself back to that. I can't. It's like finding your wife in bed with another man. That's how bad. That's how devastating it was.
You think it's you would compare it to that?
I don't know. I've never been in that situation, but I would imagine that would be the type of feeling that I would have seeing that situation, and then comparing it to what happened on the sports field with a guy that you have so much respect for and figured that he was a much better, a bigger competitor than that to just fucking quit like he did on Saturday.
And you would think that would be an insult to your wife, but I think it's more of just how much you love the Yankees.
Okay. I didn't say I was deeply hurt by what Garrett Cole did.
Okay.
It didn't kill me, but a little part of me died that day.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. What were we saying here?
I think he only had 6 blown saves, by the way, Kimbrel, but I couldn't find the stat.
No,
favorite new app would tell you, Christian, StatMuse.
I'm actually looking up something here.
StatMuse? SGR, you ever use StatMuse?
No.
You could just type in, ask it a question, and it's not like 100%. All the time, like sometimes it just brings up stupid results.
I can't answer questions about blown saves yet.
Yeah, see, fuck you. It's not that good then.
Yeah, StatMuse sucks. Just don't fucking see it anywhere.
All right, so I wanted to do this for fun because Clay Holmes was an all-star, right? And at that point in time, we all thought that was a little suspect at how he got named to the all-star team.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's actually not that bad. Since the All-Star break, he's pitched to a 4.29 ERA.
It feels so much worse than that.
It does feel so much worse than that. It does. That's what I'm saying. But his whip is 1.33, man. He allows a ton of base runners. And you're the closer. He's allowed 10 earned runs in 21 innings. You can't be allowing a run every other time you're on the mound, dude.
That's the problem.
But
you want to know why it feels worse? Because even when he saves a game. Okay, so let's just take
saves a game, it's
let's take 10 random saves or 10 random appearances from Clay Holmes, right? 5 of them are blown saves. 3 of them are saves, but he makes you fucking sweat. And then 2 of them are maybe gets out of it clean. Or 4 are that he makes you sweat, and 1 of them is a clean 1-2-3 inning.
DJ Steels with the super chat. The Yanks are Cole holds up 4 fingers on the O's. Okay. I make the Garrett Cole jokes here.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, DJ Steels. I'm so glad that I finally got to put a name to a face on Saturday. So
wow,
that's what it is, man. You know, you get to finally meet people and you're like, oh, okay, that's the you.
Name to a face or face to a name?
Whatever. It's late.
Name to a face.
So let's talk about the bullpen a little bit further here. So are we okay with Luke Weaver as the closer? Are we good with that?
Oh, it needs to happen. That
mindset.
I think it is. I think that's what it is.
Yankees
can be reluctant of admitting it, but that's what it is.
Face to name.
Is Ian Hamilton the Terminator?
Name to also works. You want Hamilton ninth?
No, what I want him to be is a Terminator. I want him to terminate rallies. Like, yes. You got to pull the starter.
Yeah, he's
that, and then he gets the next
rally
clean inning.
Has been terminated.
I'm personally putting Ian Hamilton in the spot that you've had Clay Holmes in,
and then Tommy Canley's your eighth. He's your seventh.
Yeah, I think Tommy might be my main setup guy.
Yeah, and then Cousins, Hamilton are your terminators on a rotation. Whoever's
yeah,
available.
And then whoever the odd man, I don't know, whoever the odd man out is, whether it's, let's put a Yankee cap. So I got mine.
You could see, and if it's early, say the starter goes 4 or 5, you could see Clark Schmidt or whoever that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Extra bullpen.
Not saying what Chris and I are saying it's going to be Heel. You say it's going to be Schmidt.
Yeah.
Do you think the Yankees are thinking anybody other than either one of those two guys? You think Nestor's a thought process in their
I
brains?
Think 2 weeks ago, well, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have probably said Nestor, but I loved, honestly, I hated what he said, but the fact that he's now shoving the way he is, then that's what elevated him to that next level, pitching with a chip on his shoulder. He's no debate now in my mind. He deserves the ball as well.
So would you want them to, how do I want to say this? Do you want them to hold back Schmidt or Heel, whoever it's going to be, for a piggyback spot, or do you want them to utilize them as a weapon?
Well,
late
in
innings.
Damn it! I would rather piggy.
If it's Heel that's in the bullpen, I use him as a weapon. If it's Clark Schmidt, I utilize him as a piggyback. Because I don't think Schmidt is a weapon, has weapon type stuff. I think Heel does. Clark Schmidt is a guy that you would piggyback Luis Heel to be your comfort, to be your guy who you know what you're getting out of if you're going to go in that direction.
You know, and
Crackle
again,
Nuts, hold on a sec. Crackle.
Or Nestor.
I wasn't rude to you, was I, bro? I thought I said hello to you.
Want me to kick rocks?
I don't think I did that. Uh-oh. If I did, dude, I apologize. I didn't mean
fucked
to be, I mean to be a dick to certain people. I wasn't trying to be a dick to you.
Nah, never.
Fucked up, dude.
Never would. Never could, never would, never should.
But so we got, so we're defining roles here, right? Okay, so we like Weaver as the closer. We want Hamilton as the first guy out, extinguish the fire, kind of bridge to Tommy K is what you're saying, right? You want Tommy K as the main setup guy?
Right now, yes. That's where I'm going into it with him.
And we don't want Clay Holmes anywhere near the mound, right?
I'll go one further. I don't think he deserves to be on the postseason roster.
Well, I don't think they're going to go that far.
But
I know. But
why not?
Mark Leiter's on it.
Because I'm not saying what I would do. This is where we get lost sometimes here. Right. I don't think the Yankees are going to go that far to take a guy that was an all-star this year, that was their closer, and not put him on the postseason roster.
Crackle Nuts was cracking jokes over there. He was kidding.
But do you agree with me? He has no... He doesn't deserve to be anywhere near the postseason.
After last
roster.
Night.
No,
last
I would night. I would not put him in a high leverage spot unless it's like the 19th inning and I have nobody left to pitch. That's where my draw the line would, given Clay Holmes a high leverage spot. I don't think the Yankees can trust him. How can you trust him, dude? We've seen it now. He's been removed for a couple weeks now. He's still blowing games. I mean, you want to use him in a mop-up situation? You're down 3, up 30, and you want to put him in the game? Okay, I don't have a problem with that. You know, you kind of, you know, maybe you're up 2-0 and you don't have everybody available to you, and you're losing late in the game, and you put in Clay Holmes. Okay, you don't want to wave a white flag in a postseason game, but in that scenario, okay, to go out there and, you know, you're up 3-1 in the 8th inning of game 1 and you bring in Clay Holmes, what are you at? You're asking for trouble.
But since when do you construct a postseason roster to have guys in there where you're worried about a mop-up situation or a situation where
you're not going to always have all your guys going to be high leverage guys.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me ask you a question.
Here we go.
You're up 7 runs in game 2 or game 3 of the ALDS. You're not going to your closer?
In the
Mo used to come in every single game.
In the 9th inning. But okay. What if Rodon gives you 6 and you're up 7-1? And you used all your high leverage guys already.
Whatever.
I mean, let's hope.
All I'm saying is I'm not constructing my lineup to go, okay, who's going to be our mop-up guy? Who's going to be the guy who comes in when the game's a blowout one way or the other? I'm saying who are my best guys no matter what.
Yankees are down 10-1 in game 2. You bring in Luke Weaver? Somebody's got to get the outs.
Yeah, hopefully it's just Clay's the mop.
Clay's the mop.
Fine. If that's how you want to construct your playoff roster.
I throw multi innings too. I give them 2-3 innings, 4 innings. Fuck it.
I'm not game planning.
Plays the mop.
I'm not game planning to have.
I'm
not game planning by saying, what are we going to do in the situation where we're getting blown out?
Okay, so then go find some jabron in AAA and bring him up here and don't put Clay Holmes on the roster. Because eventually you're going to draw a line where you need a certain amount of pitchers, and eventually Clay Holmes is going to be better than somebody that you're going to – okay, I'll ask you this. One roster spot left, Clay Holmes or Mark Leiter Jr.?
Clay Holmes.
Clay Holmes. Exactly. I doubt about it.
10,000 okay, 10, so there you go. Times.
There's the
10,
line. Well, there's the line. That is there's the line. The line. That's the line.
Right one there. Roster spot left, Clay Holmes or Hill?
Well, Tim Hill gets it. But I don't think Tim Hill's going to – is on the bubble for making this team in the postseason.
You think he's there?
Oh, absolutely he's there.
So if a guy like Tim Hill isn't getting left out for Clay Holmes, then I'm fine with it.
Tim Hill is
comes down to Mark Leiter Jr. or
what
Clay
about
Holmes,
Tim Mazur, Clay Holmes?
No. No.
Okay,
no.
Well there's the we've found the line though.
Right.
Right? The line is Clay Holmes, and then behind him is Tim Mazur and Mark Leiter Jr. So you're still going to factor in. You're going to still have X amount of guys in a bullpen. You're going to have one extra, maybe two. I don't even know if Stroman makes the postseason roster, because what is his role here?
So here's a better argument for me. I guess when I'm saying I don't want him on the postseason roster, it's not because he doesn't deserve to be there. It's more because I don't want the Yankees to be able to use him in a close spot. I don't trust them that they won't.
No, we don't need AJ Cole running his face back around here. Okay.
Oh God. He is up, dude.
No, he's worse than that because at least they acknowledge that he was like their safety blanket.
Yeah. Right? Well, he could
Clay Holmes is still coming in like really high leverage spots.
Yeah. He's a high leverage.
That was it
blanket.
Though, man. That was it. Right. The Mariners game.
I would hope.
I don't see him pitching in a one-run game in the 7th inning or later.
He can't. He really
he just
can't.
He can't.
Will they do it?
Yes.
Throughout the course of the regular yeah. season, no. In the next 9 games, will it happen? Probably, but if.
But look again. We're talking about. We just talked about Luis Gil.
About decisions that could cost this team a championship.
Yeah, but we're also talking about guys like Luis Gil, who we need to be at their best. I don't think it's as much of an impact for Clay Holmes because you can find spots for him that aren't high impact. But ultimately, you still want to be able to say that Clay Holmes contributed to this team.
Okay.
He can still be valuable.
Okay. He's the mop. Okay.
He's the mop. Clay's the mop.
I'll put it to you like this, and then I want to move on to something else because the show is running long again. Can the Yankees – do I see an October where the Yankees get through it and win a World Series without Luis Gil getting big outs, whether out of the bullpen or being a starter? I don't. Do I see an October where the Yankees get to the World Series without Clay Holmes getting big outs, meaning that the Yankees yes. don't use him? Yes, I can absolutely see that happening.
True. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap up on this here, and I've been trending in this direction here for a couple of days now, and then after his adventures in the outfield the last couple of days, I don't think Jason Dominguez is starting in the postseason.
Very difficult to make the argument right now. I mean, if he was tearing the cover off the ball, it'd be a different story. I know he got into one last night.
He hit a home run on Tuesday, and he had a couple hits today.
That was Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh. I can't – look, we all know how important defense is in the postseason. It got the Yankees further than you would have thought in 2022. If defense really took them into the ALCS, you can't have that liability out there. I mean, I know maybe the ball got lost in the sky last night, and today I heard this. I didn't see it, but I heard the sun was in his eyes. I don't care. You just can't have that liability out there. And it's unfortunate because I think he can bring a really scary factor to this lineup.
Well, he's also hitting 194 with a home run and an RBI.
He's not tearing the cover off the ball anyway.
And I am not taking back one word that I spoke for the last 2 months about calling him up.
No, of course not.
Not taking back one word of it.
No, it had to happen. Because Verdugo, he was non-existent. We had to see what Dominguez was going to bring us and if he could be a factor in the postseason. But I said this again last night to you guys, just like I think Volpe can come through clutch in October, I still think Verdugo could have that moment.
Yeah.
That energy where October kind of brings the best out of him.
Yeah, I think he is. He's played 11 postseason games. He's hitting like 310 in those games. So that's a part of what the Yankees were talking about when they said they feel like they have maybe a better option than calling up Dominguez at the time, because they have a guy in Verdugo who has a good track record in the postseason, and he's seemingly a much better defender right now. So it's, again, safer pick right now would be Alex Verdugo.
Well, can I just say this real quick? Clearly, the Yankees calling Dominguez up wasn't a replacement for Verdugo. They had no intention of benching Verdugo because he's pretty much been playing every day still. No.
That was another hypocritical move that they made. They said that they needed him to play every day to get called up, and he's not playing every day. So,
no, what the Yankees are showing you is that they didn't want Alex Verdugo to get stale sitting on the bench because they wanted to have this option available to them. And
that's my point.
Yeah. And you know what? Not that Verdugo set the world on fire here, but based on the defense that we've seen and the fact that he is hitting 194, that's all the evidence that the Yankees need. And I don't know. And what can happen in the last 9 games here that would change the Yankees' opinion here? If things continue on this path, I'd be really surprised if Jason Dominguez is starting in October. And I don't know if it gets to the point where the Yankees leave him off the roster completely, because I would think that going to a guy like Trent Grisham now, where he hasn't, when's the last time anybody?
See, he's still on the team.
Exactly. When's the last time anybody's seen Trent Grisham? So I think you go into October with Jason Dominguez as your fourth outfielder. You bring him in late in games to pinch run, and he's a better, might be a better, so what I'm looking for, a better option after you pinch, let's say Stan gets a double.
Right.
And then the game is tied late, and then that at bat comes up again. You know, it might be a better option to have Dominguez in that spot as a switch hitter, as opposed to, you know, Trent Grisham hasn't played in probably a month now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I have predicted a decent amount just watching this team. I think after today, you're gonna see a pretty big drop off of Dominguez getting starts. I think you're going to see them test him as a pinch hitter late in games. And I think they're going to kind of transition after today into showing you what his role is going to be in October, because leaving him off the roster isn't the move. I think you're right. I think he's got to be there. He's definitely valuable in that sense, but he's a liability. And I'm glad. And look, it doesn't change, like you said, it doesn't change the fact that we're fighting for him to come up, but at least we saw it now. At least we can sit here and say, I don't think the Yankees are right in a sense of like not calling him up sooner than they did, but like we're able to at least see it now and make an evaluation before October hits. This is a guy right now I'm not comfortable with as a starter in the outfield.
No, and if the Yankees are going to do anything over these last nine games here, they have to play Giancarlo Stanton every day. Okay.
Yes, please.
You can't sit this guy for 3 days and expect him to be relevant. I mean, they were off on Monday, sat Tuesday, sat Wednesday. And when the lineup comes out on Wednesday, I said, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
There has to be a reason why the Yankees don't play Giancarlo Stanton 3 days in a row. And it was matchup, whatever. It's all garbage, because then he comes out there and he looks like he's never played baseball in his life before.
Yeah.
You know, he just looked atrocious.
0-for-4, 3 strikeouts today.
Yeah, it was terrible. You can't platoon him.
No. He's especially heading into October, where this guy has shined.
I mean, he needs to get his at-bats. He hasn't, you know, he missed a big chunk of time with the injury, and the Yankees still didn't play him every day because they were trying to work, you know, it was all part of the process. The guy only DHs, but he still can't play every day. And I understand that they want to give Judge a blow here. They don't want to take him out of the lineup, but they don't want him playing center field every day. So Stan becomes the odd man out in that way. You know what? At this point in time, I hate saying it, but I prioritize Giancarlo Stanton getting at bats over Aaron Judge playing every day. If you need to give John, if you feel like Judge needs a day, give him a friggin' day right now. Give him a day in Oakland. Give him one of these days in Oakland here. Just give him a complete day off.
Yeah.
And let Giancarlo Stanton play the rest, these last nine games. Get him into some sort of rhythm, because then the Yankees, you know, they're going to win this division, right? Then they're going to have a stretch of what? What is it going to be? 3 or 4 days off before the division series starts?
If they win the division, the first game's October 5th.
So they're going to be off for 5 days, right? The last Sunday, you said October
29th.
The 5th is a Saturday.
Yeah.
So their last game is Sunday. They're going to be off basically an entire week. And you're going to sporadically play Stan. This guy's got to get some type of rhythm going here, yep, man. Let him play every day. And I never want to turn on a game and not see Aaron Judge in the lineup, but give him a full day off on Saturday, or give him a full day off on Sunday here in that dump of a ballpark. And Kay was bringing that up today. It's the last time we'll ever see the Yankees play in the Oakland. Thank God it's the last time we'll ever see the Yankees play in the Oakland Coliseum.
Second worst ballpark of all time.
So, I mean, if we're we're thinking with our Yankee caps right now, we're thinking like Boone and Cashman. Verdugo's the left fielder come game one.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think so.
What would you do, though?
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I think so. Especially with the way we've seen Dominguez defensively and his offense. If Dominguez was swinging like he was last year, I think it's no question. It's Dominguez.
But he has 9 games to change my mind.
Sure. I still think it is up in the air, but it's heavily now favoring Verdugo.
No,
I'll tell you what.
The polls are in Verdugo's favor.
I'll tell you what.
Sure.
If this is how big I am on the defensive end of things. If Dominguez was just playing really good defense and hitting the way he was right now, I'm still trending more towards Dominguez playing over Verdugo. It's the outfield play that has really scared me, and I can't have that in October. Just like I can't have Heel not finding the plate, I can't have a center fielder, left fielder, whatever fielder, who can't feel the fly ball.
No,
and that
these
leads
last,
to 2 runs.
Right. These last 2 games have tilted me towards Verdugo because of that. And
yes.
I don't know. But if this kid is scorching and he, you know, starts to get hot here, I know what are you going to prove in 9 games? But, you know, if the division's still on the line and the Orioles come to the Bronx next week and Jason Dominguez goes batshit crazy, he brings such a different dynamic to this team than Alex Verdugo can. And then you can change my mind back. But as we're sitting here talking right now, I hate saying it because we championed it for so long. But Alex Verdugo is going to be the left fielder come game one.
But hey, here's all we ask of the Yankees. We don't ask the Yankees to prove us right. We ask the Yankees to prove us wrong in a sense of stop not making the obvious decision. Let me tell you I was wrong. It was obvious that Dominguez had to come up here. It doesn't mean that we had to be right that he was a better option than Verdugo right now.
Why are people in the chat saying play Grisham in center field in the postseason? Are we serious?
No.
I feel like I'm a sell one.
I'm not even going to. I'm seriously not going to waste my energy.
Let's not even talk about it because he hasn't even played in, you know, serious baseball in weeks. So, no, it's not going to happen.
That can't be a serious
defensively at the end of the game, sure, if you want to throw him out there.
But I don't see how you can even put him on the roster, really.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
If it comes, all right, so you're looking at final cut here. Who's your fourth outfielder, Dominguez or Trent Grisham?
Domingue.
I mean.
Man.
Now, for me, it's an easy
I don't know
call
if that's easy.
Because here's why. You're not subbing out Judge in any postseason game for a defensive replacement.
Or for a pinch runner.
You're just not doing it. Right. So the only reason you need a fourth outfielder at that point is for an offensive pinch hit role. You're just not doing it. So it's not even a no-brainer.
Yeah, and Grisham's been nice off the bench every once in a while.
The once in a while was in July, though, man. When's the last time we've seen him play?
Right. The fact that this isn't a roster constructed for defensive replacements in the outfield. So
I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look up Trent Grisham's last appearance.
Where in the world
is Trent Grisham? Did anybody see him in the clubhouse last night?
No.
No. You know who I did see though? Tommy fucking Red
Tommy
Bull.
Canely. Yeah. Dude, he was pounding.
He
balls.
Was wild.
He was like, he's like having a scene.
Remember when he freaking hurt himself?
Oh,
much?
He did. He played on Monday. He was the he did. He came. I was probably sleeping at this point because it was 11-2. But he came in on Monday. He hadn't played in 13 days. The last time he played was on September 4th.
Uncle Dom said Grisham was emptying the bottles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, didn't notice him. I was looking for, you know, maybe unless I was confusing him with Nestor's stash because, you know, the goggle, it was making, I couldn't really tell who some of the people were.
I'll just say this to Phil Samaire. How much fun did Soto have last night? This dude loves it here, man.
Yeah,
he wants to be here.
That was awesome. I liked his reaction when they clinched it. Yeah, he's just.
Did you see him when he left Meredith for the interview just to dance?
Yeah, dance, and he comes back to her.
Yeah.
And then there was a video. They didn't realize they were live, like Glaber, Jazz, and then they called Soto
over.
That
was
hilarious. They were freaking out.
Well, some people
Soto.
Yeah.
Well, after Soto hit the home run on Tuesday, and then it was his 40th of the year, 200th of his career, and then he had now had hit a home run in every ballpark in the big leagues, and then he said in the post game, it's a good way to go into free agency, and a lot of people got triggered by that, that he mentioned free agency.
Yeah, I mean, come on, why do you have to do that, though?
I don't know. I didn't see it as that big of a deal.
I mean, it's just true that the guy is just going to get friggin' so much money.
Look, these two things are completely true at the same, you know, I legitimately believe that he wants to be a Yankee. I also legitimately believe that he's going to chase every last cent that he can get.
I think he would take $800 million
he's going to get from the Mets.
I think he would take a minor
but
discount
I think,
to stay in New York, especially if they make a big run here.
But I think if he wants to, how does he want to spend the rest of his career playing alongside Hall of Fame talent,
who's the
best
guy,
player in baseball, and Aaron Judge, or does he want to be Ronald McDonald to Grimace? You know,
who are we going to need more than anybody to make sure to be that final nail in the coffin of having Soto for life?
Grimace.
No. Judgy.
Robbie Cano.
Don't you know?
Robinson Cano.
We need to recruit Robbie. Because they're boys, according to Petey. Get him on the phone. All right. We get them talking.
No, do you really want him talking? Because who chased the money out of New York?
And who regretted the shit out of that?
Yeah, I'm sure what
ruined
he regretted.
His career.
The steroids ruined his career. More than
steroids didn't help. Oh, they did. They did help, but
he's
not
killing
for,
it in the Mexican league.
They won the championship.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
My
he's
buddy at work
in the Mexican league.
My buddy at work. His good friend plays in on the
Kenny Powers.
No, what's the team down there?
Diablos.
Diablos. He plays with them. He was sending him pictures with Cano.
Huh. Okay. And that's how you know it's time to end the show when we're talking about Robinson Cano in the Mexican League. Okay.
Please.
So, all right. So as we look ahead here, the Yankees are going to finish up their final road series of the regular season. It's hard to believe that we've gotten to this point in the season. We're down to 9 games. We're down to the final 3 on the road here as the Yankees hit Oakland for the final time here as, Gerrit Cole, Mr. Four Fingers himself, is going to take the ball tomorrow at 9:40 against TJ Ginn here. I mean, the Yankees are facing pitchers that they should smack the shit out of. So, I mean, realistically, we're not going to say anything because we've said a lot of things about the Yankees beating up on bad teams and things have not gone their way. But then Carlos Rodon on Saturday at 9:07 is going to take on former Yankee J.P. Sears, who went to Oakland in the infamous Frankie Montas deal. And then to wrap up the series at 4:07 on Sunday, Luis Gil is going to take on Joey Estes. So those are your starters there. That could be a little preview if you're SGR of what the opening of the rotation could look like in October there.
Okay.
So we'll see. And hopefully we'll see you on your favorite podcast platform, leaving us a 5-star rating and review and subscribing to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And tell everybody that you know that the NYYST podcast is your favorite podcast of all time. And we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. They didn't ask me to say that, but we are your favorite podcast. Okay. Thank you very much for being in the chat tonight. Okay. It's been a long day for Pete covering the game and then doing post game and then here with us. So if you've been with NYYU all day, we love you. Thank you very much for being in the chat. If you haven't done so already, like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. We want to thank you for your continued support of NYYU and NYYST. We want to thank everybody. Oh, excuse me.
Boy.
Yeah, that's dinner right there, buddy. We want to thank everybody for listening and watching episode 424 SGR.
Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.
Boo!
gotta do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. Bought a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Sign that check. Told him last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that.